We're talking with Ron Starner, who's the Executive Vice President of Conway. This is his brainchild, and we're going to find out why are we doing this, what's going on with the trust tour, and why did it come to Des Moines? Ron, welcome to the Business News Hour. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Tell me about the genesis of this.
Well, there's a very specific answer to that question, Michael, and that is about 4.5 years ago, I wrote an article for our flagship publication, Site Selection Magazine, based in Atlanta. And the headline of the article was The Trust Belt. And obviously it's a play on words, right? Because the greater Midwest region has been called the Rust Belt for probably 3 decades now. I often think back to the infamous Michael Moore documentary, Roger and Me, which was based in Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
And it really, I think, created the aura of negativism around the greater Midwest, because people outside of the Midwest region just kind of laughed, you know, at the people of Michigan and thought, yeah, there's that depressed, decaying, dying state.
Pennsylvania, Indiana, Ohio,
yeah.
And the list goes on.
Well, the connotation of it was factories had rusted out, right?
Right.
A largely automotive, manufacturing-dependent economy had gone south, and Flint was kind of the poster child for that, unfortunately, according to Michael Moore and the people that bought into that line of thinking. Well, 4.5 years ago, we uncovered at Site Selection Magazine the fact that a massive economic resurgence was taking place in the Rust Belt. In fact, we documented that in annual GDP, the growth rate of the states of Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin was greater than the Southeast, which was the region of the country that everyone was the highest on.
And why is that? What is it that these states, including Iowa, what is it that they suddenly discovered?
Mm-hmm. Well, we sought out to answer that question, right? Because we saw this huge economic turnaround taking place, and we said, this cannot be an accident. There have to be specific reasons why this turnaround is taking place. And what we discovered was a huge transition in political leadership was taking place at the state house level, filtering down through the regional and local level. And what we saw were largely pro-business governors were being elected in these states and were enacting very specific pro-business policies, that is, policy changes that were favorable to the interests of business that wanted to grow in the region because it already had the manufacturing workforce and that wasn't going away. And so what it needed was an ability to unleash capital because that capital was largely fighting with one hand tied behind its back.
Ron Starner, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the genesis of this whole idea of the Trust Belt conferences that are winding their way through multiple states, talking about policy issues as well as economics. At the same time, Ron, wouldn't you also take a look at the economics of many of the states that you've talked about, where they have, in some of these pro-business states, their economy is a mess with regard to their state budgets. Is that because they're investing so heavily in what they hope to be the future payback?
Well, you may be referring to a state like Kansas, which did get into some serious budgetary problems.
Or Iowa.
Right?
Iowa's
mm-hmm.
in some serious budgetary yeah. problems. But we asked the Iowa economic development people, mm-hmm. and they'll tell us the reason that they're giving all of these opportunities to already wealthy corporations, Apple and Facebook, and the list goes on, is because they're building for the future. So is that a future investment, perhaps? Is that what they're thinking about?
Possibly. Yeah, I think that's perhaps the case. But to go back to your original question of where Trust Belt came from, and again, the article was written 4.5 years ago, long before these incentives packages were awarded. And what we saw was that in places specifically like Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana, I would say those three states were really leading an economic comeback because capital was allowed to be unleashed for business investment purposes, and it wasn't being penalized for being unleashed like it was in under previous administrations.
So what we're taking a look at now, and that, again, is businesses and factories and manufacturing is rapidly changing, Ron. No longer do we have sprawling automobile. We do in some places. Toyota's building in the southeast, but in my home state of Michigan, very well do we know of those rusting hulks that used to be automobile assembly plants. However, in their place have become new technology and new ideas utilizing technology to drive business. Is that correct?
Absolutely. A classic example is the Lear Corporation, which is investing, I believe it's around $100 million to make advanced seating technology for automobiles in Flint, Michigan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so this is indicative of the type of investment we're seeing.
And when you're going from city to city on the Trust Belt Tour, what are you hearing from your attendees? And this is a well-attended event here in Des Moines.
Well, what we're hearing is there is a renewed sense of energy and excitement around bringing business back to the Midwest. We just had a keynote speaker, noted geopolitical strategist and author Peter Zion,
right,
talk about the unique competitive advantages that the Midwest has, and a lot of it starts with the shale gas and oil energy revolution that's taking place throughout the region.
And not only that, but for generations, the Midwest has also been known as a real working class community where individuals enjoy getting up and going to work on a regular basis. And there's honor, there's true honor in those job opportunities out there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if America needed a wake-up call on the strength of the working class, it kind of got it with the last election, didn't it?
Well, I think so. We're still waiting to see. I know that the stock market continues to skyrocket, but those individuals who are not part of this skyrocketing Wall Street aren't necessarily getting the advantage of that. As you know, wages have been stagnant since 1972.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is really an interesting thing. When we take a look at real wages and wage growth in the United States, this last quarter, we actually saw it bump up for the first time in a long time. Technology, changes, trade unions, all of those people are calling for a different class of worker, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. And Michael, you've hit the nail on the head, because what not only the Midwest needs, but what America needs is a renewed emphasis on workforce training.
And we're seeing that even at the high school level, Ron. Thank you so much for talking about the history of this. I think it's fascinating, and the people who are here enjoying the keynote speakers and the breakout sessions and the conversation about economic development, I know I've talked to several of them. They're really enjoying this. Thank you for doing it.
Thanks for having me, Michael.